Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening. It's now 7:36 Central Time from the Faith Radio Network, and I'm Austin Hill. Here weekday mornings, 6 till 8, as we seek to be informative, challenging, hopeful, and helpful here at the start of your day. Yes, we seek to connect faith to life, all of life, even the events of our world, the current events of our time, and the life of our country and our communities. So are the millennials, the younger adult generation, are the millennials ready to step up and take control of the world? No trumped up question there, right? Listen, I'm on the front end of Generation X, and over the last couple of decades, the baby boom generation has looked back at my generation, Generation X, and said, gosh, but people, they're frail. They don't know what they're doing. And most certainly, my parents' generation looked at my generation. My parents from the World War II era looked at my generation, the Gen Xers, and said, okay, hope that works out for you. The millennial generation is indeed a generation of adult Americans who are facing very unique challenges. And also, they've got some very unique attributes and skills and capacities that us Gen Xers and most certainly the baby boomers don't possess. Joining us to weigh in on the issue of the millennials taking up the torch, so to speak, receiving the torch and running with it in terms of church leadership and civic leadership for that matter. We welcome back to the program Chris Martin, the self-described millennial evangelical, or is it evangelical millennial? Which comes first in your title there, Chris Martin? Which do you prefer?
Good morning, Austin. We typically go millennial evangelical. I think it just rolls off the tongue a little bit better than the other way around. So we go with millennial evangelical.
I think so. Millennial evangelical. Great branding, and it works. So that's very cool. Hey, how are you this morning, by the way?
I'm doing well. We actually, I live in Nashville now. I'm from Northern Indiana. I live in Nashville. We got about 3 inches of snow 2 nights ago, and
yes.
Everyone is losing their mind. Your listeners will appreciate that. Everyone is losing their minds. It's kind of crazy out there.
You know, I will tell you, some of my colleagues here at Faith Radio were in Nashville just recently for a big convention, and they were amused by, the reaction from people, you know, kids being told to stay home from school just because the temperature goes below 32 degrees. I mean, absolute panic, and my friends here at Faith Radio in the northern upper Midwest, you know, they were duly amused by the panic over, 29 degrees outside or whatever.
Indeed, yes, it is amusing at times, for sure.
Listen, there has been some, on a more serious note, some interesting research published recently about millennials and their proclivity towards leadership and their preparedness for being leaders, not only in our country and in our communities and at a civic level, but in the church. Where do you begin as the millennial evangelical, Chris Martin? Where do you begin that discussion?
Yeah, I think millennials are just as primed for leadership as anyone else was at their age. I don't really have any reason to think that they're any less prepared for leadership roles than Gen Xers were at our age, or boomers even. Perhaps there is some reason for concern, though, and legitimately so, I think. Millennials have often been described as growing up later or having this sort of extended adolescence that goes past into our college years and even past our college years, where many of us are living at home later than your generation or the generation above you did. Mm-hmm. And there are a number of factors. I've written a little bit on that. There are a number of factors that go into things like that. It's cheaper. We grew up in a much tougher economy. It's harder for us to get jobs in a lot of ways. But I don't think that makes us any less ready for leadership roles. And I think the thing we always have to remember is millennials, I'm 24. I'm kind of right in the middle of the millennial generation, as it were, depending on how you define it. The
right.
Oldest millennials are going to turn 35 this year. So really, the people who can still be qualified as quote-unquote millennials and be the people who should be leading your churches or who may be managing you at your job. But younger guys like me, 24, we're still getting the hang of leadership roles, and I'm just kind of just out of college, still a little wet behind the ears, as it were. And so I think there is maybe a leadership deficiency, but I think a lot of that is just because half of our generation is not even graduated from college yet.
Well, and to your point, it seems to me the precise definition of the millennial generation differs. It's different according to which demographer or researcher you're looking at. And as I've read this, Chris Martin, indeed the generation of the millennials is defined very broadly, just like you're describing here. So, I mean, would you agree that it's kind of difficult to put your finger on it entirely right from the get-go?
Oh, yeah, sure. Just about everybody has its start at 1980, which would make the oldest millennials about 35 this year. But then the end year varies. I've seen anywhere from 1995 to 2000. I think Pew has it somewhere right in the middle there, which is where I get most of my millennial data, is they've done a vast amount of millennial research. And then Dr. Tom Rainer, in his book, The Millennials, you may have seen it here. There's a great work. It defines the end as the year 2000. So I think anywhere between 95 and 2000 is reasonable. I like the even 20 years that Dr. Rainer goes with. That's easy to work with. But that a lot happened between 1995 and 2000. So that there's a lot that goes. It's very volatile in there.
Yeah, no, serious. Yeah, your point's very well taken. Chris Martin is the millennial evangelical. He's on our guest line here on Faith Radio. And we're talking about millennials and their proclivity towards leadership, their ability to assume leadership roles. You know, there's this guy, I don't want to get sidetracked with this, but there is a gentleman. He's been on this program a couple of times before. And he is a retired executive with a large restaurant chain. Well, I'll say he's a retired executive with the Chick-fil-A restaurant chain. But he's written this book really geared towards your generation. And it's called Creative Followership. And it's his presumption that it's his premise, I should say, that millennials have been told from the get-go, do it your way, defy the parameters and the rules, go find your own way of doing things, go out there and be a leader. And for the most part, and this is, you know, a broad sweeping generalization, but for the most part, millennials have never been taught to follow another leader. And so it's his premise that millennials need to learn to follow first before they can lead. What do you make of that assessment of your generation? And does the prescription for your generation make any sense to you?
Yeah, that's a really fascinating book. I'll have to read it sometime. I agree completely, I think. From my experience, I've not done extensive research into how other people have been brought up kind of in their understanding of leadership and followership, but I went to a small Christian college in Indiana, and we had like a national student leadership conference, and I was on leadership scholarship at this university, and everybody was always told, everybody's a leader, you just have to figure out how. And you know, there's some truth to that, I guess, but I feel like I was rarely told how to follow well. I think the author of that book is exactly right. And I think part of that, you know, everyone calls millennials arrogant and self-entitled. And, you know, I don't like generalities like that, but in some sense it's kind of true. I've had to work harder to be more humble than to be more confident, if that makes sense. I've not had a confidence, and maybe this is just a personal thing. I've never had a confidence problem. I've always had to work on my humility. And some of that may be people always telling me, you can do it. You can go be a leader. Don't be a follower. Don't be a sheep. Be a shepherd and all that kind of stuff. And there's legitimacy to that. You know, everybody should kind of try to take more responsibility, take initiative. I think there is virtue in that, regardless of if you're leading or following. But I think too often that those things are kind of meshed together in such a way that if you have too many chiefs and not enough people in the tribes, everybody's just going to be fighting about who should be leading. So I think there is definitely legitimacy to what your author's saying in creative followership. And I would love to read it to learn how to be a better follower, because I really don't feel like that was emphasized enough.
All right. Chris Martin, the millennial evangelical on our guest line here on Faith Radio. What about millennials ascending to positions of leadership within the church? And I say the church broadly and universally. speaking. And I ask this recognizing that your generation, even more so than my Generation X, Chris Martin, your generation has come of age at a time of moral and cultural upheaval, at least here in the U.S. and throughout the Western world. And you've come of age at a time where the evangelical church movement is, in some cases, inclined to abandon key Christian doctrines, or at least to very dramatically change its own theology. Where do the millennials fit into leadership roles in that capacity, in that environment?
Yeah, I think as we move into the future, I'm a millennial, like I said, so that's why I'm here. But I think we've talked about this before. I think there is a moral pendulum swing going on among the younger generation. And I've said this before here, but I'll say it again. I don't know how much of that is because we're young, meaning I don't know how much of it's going to stick around once we get older, to maybe closer to our parents' age, because people tend to be more liberal when they're young and more conservative when they're older. It's just a fact of life, politically and otherwise, I think. But I think millennials, you know, millennials currently make up 27% of the adult population. That's equal to the Gen Xers. So I think it is time for millennials to kind of take charge in the moral fabric and makeup of our country, but also more specifically our churches. I'm more concerned with how the church conducts itself in accordance to God's word than how the country conducts itself in accordance to God's word. And a lot of people disagree with me on that. But I'm just personally more focused on church. Let's be faithful to what the word of God says. And I think millennials have a huge part in that moving forward as they kind of come of age and get to a point where people are comfortable with them leading churches. And I think it's just practical for churches to have a wide range of ages represented in church leadership. I think it helps reach a broader range of ages in the congregation. I think generally your congregation is going to reflect your church leadership, both in diversity racially, age-wise, all kinds of things. So I think it's always helpful to try to reflect a number of people groups, both age and race and ethnicity, in your church leadership. And I think hiring a millennial for a church leadership position may help you reach and better understand even the younger generation in your midst.
All right. We'll continue with Chris Martin in just a moment. He is the millennial evangelical. He is a prolific writer and blogger, and a very thoughtful one at that, as we talk about millennials assuming leadership within the call of the church. We'll continue with Chris in just a moment. It's 7:47 now, Central Time. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill.
Back to Austin Hill in the morning. Questions or comments for the show? You can leave them on our show page at myfaithradio.com.
7:49 Central Time from the Faith Radio Network, and I'm Austin Hill, here weekday mornings 6 till 8. Chris Martin is the millennial evangelical. He's actually a writer and prolific author and blogger. He blogs on a website entitled The Millennial Evangelical. He's written about the issue of millennials becoming leaders within the movement of the church here in our country and around the world. And he's written about this idea that churches would do well to hire a millennial evangelical so as to better minister to the millennial generation. At least I think I followed the logic there correctly, Chris Martin. Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, I just think it's important that churches hire millennials to represent that age group and for a number of other reasons that we can kind of unpack as well.
Yeah. You know, it strikes me as you write about hiring a millennial on a church staff. It strikes me that as we go forward in our country, if current trends continue, and if your parents' generation and my generation, the Gen Xers, if we continue to remain silent and choose to have no voice at all in terms of the crafting of public policy in our country, and we continue to choose to see ourselves as just, you know, innocent victims of bad public policy, it seems to me that we're on this trajectory, at least right now anyway. And I don't know if it'll continue. I don't know if older generations will wake up. But if we continue as we have, there will probably be fewer churches, or at least fewer churches that can afford to pay pastors on staff going forward into the future of our country. And that's it, I can make the connection there with government policy, and we can get into that. But I mean, I'm not the only one who's saying this. There are other people surmising that in America we are headed for more house churches. We are headed for a future of the pastorate, where clergy work a full-time job, and the ministry that they do as a pastor is kind of a sideline kind of thing. What does that look like to you as a millennial? And recognizing that those are kind of the trends of the church right now.
I hope to. I'm doing my master's in divinity right now through Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and I would love to be a pastor myself. So this has implications for me personally as well.
Oh yes.
I've thought about this for a long time. And bivocational, the a lot more people in positions of influence within the American church are encouraging bivocational pastors. So pastors who both work as the pastor, maybe are paid part-time or maybe even volunteer, and then work another job doing something else that they have a skill in. And as someone, I've always loved and feel called to be a pastor of a church, and I would love for that to be the only thing that I do. But you're right. The way we're going, there is becoming a greater need for this. I find that to be true, and I find that to be where we're going, but I don't find that really concerning. Because I don't see a ton of people in Scripture who were only pastors, for instance. People had other things that they did, or if they were only pastors, they took tithes and gifts from people to whom they ministered, missionaries and such. So I don't find it to be too concerning. I think America is more Babylon and less Promised Land. If that makes sense. I didn't make that up. I read that somewhere recently. It's more like Babylon and less like Promised Land than it's ever been. And I think the church needs to learn to adapt to that. I'm not concerned about the health of the church or the future of the church in that respect, because we see the church blossoming and flourishing in areas where there's much persecution, much more than we have here. And then I look back in church history and look at Constantine and how Constantine making Christianity legal and how that affected the Christian culture and atmosphere of the time. So I'm not too concerned, though I think it's something to definitely take note of and to be aware of as we move forward, especially as my generation starts to look for jobs as a pastor.
So when you say hire a millennial, that may not mean full-time employment.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And it's just going to have to, it's going to vary church to church. A church of 80 people, a church with a congregation of 80 may not have enough room on its staff to hire a full-time youth pastor. So a millennial is going to have to accept a part-time youth pastor position or attend the church and be a volunteer youth minister. A church of 300 people may be able to hire a millennial as a youth pastor or an executive pastor or something of that nature. So I think I encourage churches to hire millennials in order to better reach the younger generation, to better understand and reach the younger generation. But I make no assumptions that the millennial is going to be hired as a full-time position with benefits in the house and all that stuff.
Chris Martin, the Millennial Evangelical, on our guest line. Just about 90 seconds left here. Where do millennials stand, in your view, Chris Martin, on this issue of religious liberty in America? It seems to me that boomers, to a certain extent, but my generation, Generation X, is waking up and saying, whoa, our freedom to practice our Christian faith is dissipating rapidly. We need to engage in the crafting of public policy in our country to make sure that it doesn't all go down the tubes. Do millennials care about this, or maybe not so much?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's really across the board on this one. I've seen all kinds of views from millennials on this, and it's so hard to pin it down. I think it's just as diverse as just about any other generation. If anything, among broad millennials, not just evangelicals, I think they are against what we would identify as religious liberty. Among evangelicals, it's a broader thought about this than you would like to think. There are more millennials who are against laws protecting religious liberty than we would like to think, is what I'm trying to say. So I think it's really broad. I think that religious liberty is incredibly important. And I think the thing we have to remember as Christians is religious liberty is religious liberty. And that's not always legislated Christianity. We need to be for religious liberty in protecting the religious liberty of people of other faiths if we hope to protect the religious liberty of Christians.
And that's, And that's a challenging subject we'll get into next time. Chris Martin, the Millennial Evangelical. Chris, thanks very much for joining us. We'll talk again soon. And thank you for listening. I'm Austin Hill, back tomorrow, Saturday, 1 p.m. Central Time. Hope you'll join me for our weekend program, Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. See you then. Keep it here. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.